turn with me again. Well, we turn first to our scripture reading for this morning and for the message of Numbers chapter 12. And in the bulletin, you will see that our text for consideration is verses 1 through 5. But we will read together this chapter. It is not a lengthy chapter, but so that you have the entire context and picture in your mind, I will read with you, reading all of the chapter. Turning now to Numbers chapter 12 and beginning at verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam. Behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days. The people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth, and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. We turn again to that text in a moment for our study. Before we do, stand with me. Turn back with me now, if you will, please, to the book of Numbers and chapter 12 we have come to this morning. In order to properly set the context of our study this morning in chapter 12, let me briefly review the events leading right up to this point. God has graciously visited Israel in her bondage in Egypt to which she had been sent on account of her sins. And God has visited her and granted her a glorious and miraculous deliverance, accompanied by the promise of His leadership back into the land of Canaan again and into blessings. However, Israel is to journey through this land between on her way back home. It is with this journey in this land between that the book of Numbers occupies itself. It is in the journey that God will order Israel again in her tribes and in her offices. He will reorder them as His peculiar covenant people. In chapter 1 and chapter 2, we find there related the census taking of all the tribes, except Judah, of course, and their arrangements around the priestly tribes. Chapters 3 and 4 is recorded the reestablishment of the priests and the priesthood in their several responsibilities in the spiritual life of Israel. In chapter 5, it recounts the cleansing and the purging preparations throughout Israel in anticipation of their renewed worship of Jehovah, their covenant God. In chapter 6, 7, and 8, give us more detail as to the function of these priests and their requirements before the Lord. And then it was in chapter 9 that the glorious old institution of the Passover was reestablished in verse 23. At the commandment of the Lord, he said, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses in chapter 9. And then in chapter 10, it brings us to the heralding of those blessed trumpets. And you remember, I trust, the sermon where we showed you these blessed gospel trumpets that were sounded for Israel in chapter 10. And Israel begins to move out in what I have called gospel formation. Everything and everyone in their proper place, just as the Lord had ordered it, and nothing less than His own glorious person, His own divine presence, leading them by the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. My, what a glorious scene it is when we come down to the end of chapter 10. We would almost wish that the story ended there. And what a happy ending it would be. But alas, we come to chapter 11. And are shocked, at least I hope we are shocked, to find that in chapter 11, in it all, Israel has grown weary. Israel has grown discontented with the blessings of God. Israel has grown unbelieving. Israel has grown outright disillusioned with God's leadership and is seeking rather to return to the bondage of Egypt. And it is here in chapter 11 that we first hear these words, the Lord was displeased with Israel. And what a stark contrast to the words we read in chapter 9, where it was said of Israel that they, quote, kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And what a contrast now. And so then we come this morning to chapter 12. And lest we should think that such terrible backsliding, that such terrible apostasy is only possible in the ranks of the common Israelite, that is, those in the outer fringes of God's work, lest we should think that, the first two names in the opening verse of chapter 12 will shock us out of that delusion and sober our hearts by this startling introduction, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. Aaron and Miriam. Aaron and Miriam were Moses' own brother and sister. More than that, in Micah chapter 6 and verse 4, we find that they are specifically named as being appointed with Moses to rule Israel in all of her journeys. I'll read you that text. Micah chapter 6 and verse 4. For I brought thee out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. These that are appointed by God to lead God's people. There is no question about Aaron's love for Moses and his high respect of him, not only as his brother, but as God's servant. Back in Exodus chapter 4, we read, in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses and said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. In verse 27, And the Lord said to Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went. And he met him in the mount of God and kissed him. Oh, there's no question that Aaron loved his brother. And not just loved him, but reverenced him and recognized God's hand on his life. He loved him and he honored him and he reverenced him. There's also no question that as regards Miriam's place of usefulness in the service of God's work, even being called in Exodus chapter 15, verses 19 through 21, even being called a prophetess in Israel. There is no question of Miriam's place and of her usefulness in the work of God. How then can this terrible thing happen? Not only is Moses their brother, but he's their fellow heir to all of God's promises. And even more, they're highly placed fellow laborers together with him in the work of God's people. How could this thing be? How could they speak against Moses? Oh, the depths of the depravity of the human heart. Who can know it? Numbers chapter 12, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Boy, he had married a woman, an Ethiopian woman. They said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? How could this happen? Let me attempt this morning an answer to that question from this text. How could this happen? I say to you, it happened because of a flare-up of the oldest sin in human history, jealousy. Jealousy. Verse 2, it comes out clearly what's eating them, what's bothering them, what's got them distracted to the point of turning against their own brother and fellow laborer in the work of God. It's obvious. They said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hadn't He spoken by us too?" Jealousy. Jealousy usually blinds people to the facts. They ask the question, "Hath the Lord spoken only by Moses?" Of course not. Of course not. Why would you even ask? Of course not. No one ever said that He did. You remember Moses himself had just said in chapter 11 and verse 29, he said this, "Enviest thou for my sake?" He said, "Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them." Moses had just said, "Oh, listen, don't stop that man from prophesying. Don't criticize me. Are you jealous for my sake? Don't do that. Oh, I would God all the Lord's people were prophets." Moses never claimed that he was the only one to speak for God. There were at least 70 others besides Moses who had prophesied in that very day. Why can't Aaron and Moses, why can't Aaron and Miriam see that? Because jealousy is a blinding force. I said that jealousy was the oldest sin in the human race. Isn't that what Satan used on Adam and Eve? Came to Adam and Eve, said, "Why, you could be like God. Don't you want to be like God? Aren't you jealous? Don't you have jealousy for, look, you could be like God." And stirred up in their soul a jealousy that was sinful, and it was the first sin that entered the human race. We have an expression in our language, do we not? We talk about being blind with jealousy. Isn't that the expression we use? That's because jealousy is blinding. And it will stubbornly ignore the most obvious truth. Even in the face of all evidence, it will ignore the truth. Because it is blinding in its effect. As well as that, jealousy is cruel and bitter. This is the words of Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 34. "For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts." What's wrong with him? He's eat up with jealousy. And the Bible says it's a rage in a man. The Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon in chapter 8 and verse 6. The Scripture says this about jealousy. "Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death, but jealousy is as cruel as a grave." Jealousy. Miriam and Aaron had no care for the fact that Moses was, God tells us in verse 3, listen to these words in verse 3, "Now the man Moses was very meek among all the men which are on the face of the earth." Miriam and Aaron had no care for the fact that Moses was the meekest man on earth. They were jealous for the meekest man on earth. they cruelly inflict pain on his sensitive soul by their vicious attack for nothing better than a carnal jealousy for his place in the service of God. A carnal jealousy for his place in the service of God. I ask the question again, how could this thing have happened? And I answer again, jealousy. The cruel, bitter sin, blinding sin of jealousy cropped up in their hearts. Secondly, I suggest to you, how could this thing have happened? Let me suggest that they have adopted a pharisaical spirit of judgment that scrutinizes others for the purpose of self-exaltation. A pharisaical spirit of judgment that scrutinizes others for the purpose of self-exaltation. Miriam and Moses, chapter 12, verse 1, listen. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they adopted this hypercritical, scrutinizing, judgmental attitude. Began to scrutinize Moses' life. And they spoke against Moses because of his wife. Now let me take a little sidetrack here. And let me say to you that there is no question that Moses' wife was a problem. She was a problem. And let me say to you that you don't have to scrutinize any Christian's life very far, and you will find real problems. Not imaginary. Real problems. But what will you do as you view those things? Will you consider yourself lest you be taken also in the same sin? Or will you become critical and hyper-judgmental in your attitude as Miriam and Aaron did? There is no doubt that Moses' wife was a problem. In Exodus chapter 4, for example, in Exodus chapter 4, verse 24 and 25, you remember this incident, do you not? Let's go back to verse 20. Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, when thou goest to return to Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh which I put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go. Listen now. And thou shalt say to Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say to thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And so here goes Moses. He's off on this mission. He's headed out for the work of God to do what God would have him do. And as he's passing that way, verse 24, it came to pass by the way in the end where they had stopped in to stay that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Verse 25, then Zipporah took a sharp stone, and now we find out what it is that got the Lord angry and why the Lord's set out after Moses and going to kill him. Verse 25, then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. Verse 26, so he let him go. And she said, a bloody husband art thou because of the circumcision. And now we know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says. Moses hadn't obeyed God in the matter of circumcising this son. And there was clear and obvious pressure from his wife not to do it. And he had succumbed to that. And God was very angry about it. And as he proceeds to go about to do the work of God, God meets him in the way and sets out to kill him. And we don't know exactly what was happening. We don't know exactly what befell him. But whatever it was, he was incapacitated in this end. He couldn't even do, it was his job to do the circumcision. He couldn't even do the circumcision. God had stricken him and he was dying. Because he had not obeyed God and he allowed his wife to stop him. And so, she steps up and circumcises the child and casts the foreskin at his feet and said, you're a bloody man because I had to do this to my son. I'm telling you, listen to me. I said to you, there is no question Moses' wife was a problem. There's no question. There's no doubt. There's no doubt she was a problem. And there's no doubt that she may have been a sore subject in this family. Well, listen. Listen to what Matthew Henry had to say about this matter. He said, the sin of Moses, which was neglecting the circumcision of his son, this was probably of the effect of being unequally yoked with a Midianite who was too indulgent of her child while Moses was too indulgent of her. We have need to watch carefully over our own hearts, lest fondness for any relation prevail above our love to God and take us off from our duty to Him. And He's charged upon Eli that he honored his sons more than he honored God. God's displeasure was against him. He met him and probably by a sword in an angel's hand sought to kill him. This was a great change because very lately God was conversing with him and lodging a trust in him as a friend. And now he's coming forth against him as an enemy. Men, you better listen. We can find ourselves at odds with God and God treating us like an enemy, not a friend. And listen to what Henry says. Omissions are sins and must come into judgment, particularly the contempt and neglect of the seals of the covenant. I cannot determine, but we learn, I cannot help, in other words, he's saying, I cannot help but learn this from this, listen, that when God discovers to us what is amiss in our lives, we must give all diligence to amend it speedily and particularly return to the duties we've neglected. The putting away of our sins is indispensably necessary to the removal of God's judgments. This is the voice of every rod. It calls us to return to Him that smites us. There's no question. Moses' wife had a problem. And there's no doubt that she may have been a sore subject in this family. But that was a long time ago. And anyway, there is equally no doubt that Moses was God's special choice and God's special servant to lead Israel into the possession of God's promise, and that included Aaron and Miriam. There's no doubt Moses' wife was a problem, but listen, That was Moses' problem, and that was between Moses and God, and Miriam and Aaron in their hyper-judgment set it up as a basis and a ground for them to disapprove of the servant of God, and God heard it. Verse 2. And the Lord heard it. Listen to this piece of advice, if you will, when we cannot understand all of God's providence. It's a good plan to lean heavily on His clear instructions. When we cannot understand all of God's providences, we'd be well advised just to lean heavily on clear instructions. And there was very clear instruction that God had appointed Moses to lead this people. Notice further, All their jealousy against Moses was ultimately nothing less than an anger against God Himself. Moses was merely doing the will of God. And so their discontent with what Moses was doing was nothing less than a discontent with God Himself. We are reminded of this truth, are we not? In John chapter 15 and verse 17, we're pointed to it again. These things I command you, that you love one another. Listen, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but because I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Here it is. When you're discontented with the will of God, you become discontented with the servant of God. What you're really discontented with is God. Then we come to those most frightening words of all. Oh, five little words in verse 2. And the Lord heard it. Oh, listen to me. Be sure that when jealousy, inexcusable carnal pride, and self-exaltation and hypercriticism wells up within your heart, the Lord hears it. The Lord hears it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Oh, Psalm 138 and Psalm 139, you read them for yourself. He hears your thoughts from afar off. When jealousy, inexcusable carnal pride, self-exaltation, and hypercriticism enter into your bosom, God hears it. God hears it. Well, what happens next was predictable in verse 4. And the Lord spake suddenly. Exactly how or by what particular means is not revealed to us in this text. But what is revealed is the significance of this word, that the Lord spoke suddenly. The Lord spoke suddenly, giving no time for this malignity to grow and infect the entire nation. A nation, I remind you, which was already prone to discontent and mutiny. In order that nation not be infected with this disease, God spoke suddenly. This word suddenly was used also in chapter 6. Way back in this same book, in chapter 6, in verse 9, if any man die very suddenly, He's defiled because of it. This word used there. Word suddenly, this same word is used also in Psalm chapter 64, verse 4 through 7, indicating the speed of an arrow. Also in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 12, speaking of a trap and how quickly a trap slams you. Suddenly. Verse 4 says, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses. Why so quickly? Oh God Himself is directly attacked whenever His servant is assaulted while in the immediate path of obedience. Now listen to me. I'm not talking to you about the fundamentalist doctrine of man worship or priestcraft. But I am telling you that when God calls a man and that man sets about and he is in the place of obedience and in the path of obedience and somebody puts their hand to it, God will not stand back and He'll speak suddenly. And He did. I'm talking to you about the legitimate doctrine of honor that's due to the man called of God and tasked to lead the people of God in the things of God. That man, in the words of 1 Timothy 5:17, is worthy of double honor. And also, let us not forget that in the New Testament economy, we are all called priests before God, and we are all said to be heirs together with Christ and joint heirs with Him in Christ's church. Remember, this privilege is expounded to us by the Lord Himself in Mark 9, 41 through 42. We are all priests together. So then our Lord demands their immediate presence. Our Lord demands their immediate presence. Verse 4, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam and said, come ye out, ye three, to the tabernacle of the congregation. And He called them out. And they three came out. And the Lord came down a pillar of fire and stood in the door of the tabernacle. And then He called Aaron and Miriam, as it were. I could just see in my mind. He's called the three of them, spoke to them directly, said, go to the tabernacle and meet me at the gate of the tabernacle. And oh, horror of horrors, when they get there, He came down in the pillar of cloud, and as it were, with a divine finger, He points to Miriam and Aaron and says, now you, come here. You. And He called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. He came down and He stood in the door of the tabernacle to speak to them. Being delinquents and transgressors, they cannot go in, but must be met at the gate. They cannot go in, but He will meet them at the door. This is the normal place. In that economy, this is the place. And the gate is the place for public judgment. This is the bar for judiciary action. Miriam and Aaron were called to the bar of God. And so they stand alone in His presence. Oh, listen to me. Children, listen. Sin will have you called into the presence of God and His judgment. And His judgment. And when God calls you out, no man can deliver you. And there they stand. Next week, we'll take up that text in that same place. Let's stand together and sing.